The following is a paid program on this station.
Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, our producer and announcer just said that this is talk radio at its very best, and that's because of you. I'm pointing at you.
Ah, is that so?
Because you are here.
Right.
That's you. I'm looking at and okay. I'm pointing to Dr. Samara Umat.
Okay.
And I'm Pete Talbot, and there's nobody else in the studio right now.
That's right.
But that's not going to be the way it is. Dr. Mixon can't be here today, but he kind of is. It's the weird thing. He just loves doing the show. And he knew he wasn't going to be here today. And so earlier this week, we sat down and he recorded three short segments, 10, 12, 13 minute segments about three different topics.
Yeah.
And I think they are going to be interesting. We'll play the first one, which is on weight loss, discussing what's best, diet or exercise.
Very good. Oh, that's very exciting.
And it kind of is going to play along with what you wanted to talk about anyway. But first, let me also say that the good news is I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert coming at 9 o'clock, so he'll be here for the 9 o'clock hour. We do not have to limit the conversation that hour to just things ophthalmological. Is that a word? Yes. And, but he is the owner, and obviously he's been a guest here before from Northwest Vision Institute. So if you have issues regarding eyesight, boy, you definitely want to call in then. Every time he comes, the phones go nuts. So obviously eyesight is a big deal for our audience. And again, he'll be here at 9 o'clock. Let me give out the number because we are going to take all kinds of calls today at 800-465-8770. All you have to do is call, and our call screener will take your first name and the city you're from and a brief, like, 3, 4, 5-word description of what you want to talk about. And we will get you on the air. Again, the number, all the lines are open right now. So call us at 800-465-8770. But today, you announced just before we went on the air that today, or this month, is menopause month.
Did you know that?
I did not.
No, why would you know that?
Well, no. No, I said you announced.
I did.
You know, I've been through it.
Oh, sure, so, you have. You know,
I've been married 51 years.
That's right. So by proxy, you have definitely been through it.
I know a little bit about menopause.
Yes.
But not as much as others. So, but this is national?
Well, actually, it's World Menopause Month. It's international.
It is a world type issue.
Yeah, it is a world. Well, yes, thank you. We're so smart today. Well, the thing is, it intrigued me when I saw that, and I thought, interesting. And then as I thought more about it, well, you know, there is Prostate Awareness Month, there is Colorectal Awareness Month, and there is, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So why not menopause? And I guess as I thought more and more about it, and I thought, people want to talk about this? Well, it kind of turns out it's for education purposes. It's so that you can learn more about what's going on. And as I thought more about it, and I remembered my patients who went through that, phase in their life without really knowing what was happening to them and how tragic it was. And had they known, anticipated, expected, and prepared for it, that transition can actually really be very good. I mean, it's a freeing time. It's liberating, right? You think about it. Average age for menopause is around 51 years, 52 years. That's a time when the kids are thankfully, hopefully out. You're on your own and you have fewer responsibilities. And I'll use the example of my patient who I was thinking about, where she was actually in that same age group, but she was caught because the kids were ready to fly, but still needed parents' attention. At the same time, her parents were getting older, and they now needed her more than ever. And her husband had no idea what was happening to her. And this lady who's going through this natural physiological change in her life was completely caught off guard and unprepared for what was happening to her, as there were hormonal changes that were affecting not just her behavior, but her memory, her skin, her hair loss, her whole physiology was changing. She was not functioning as she used to normally, and they put her on an antidepressant, and she wasn't depressed. And it was the side effects of those medications that actually brought her to us.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, she said to me that she didn't know if her marriage would survive this period in her life without really understanding what was going on. So it really brought, when I read about this World Menopause Month, it really brought this home to me. And so I did a little bit of digging. It's actually fun. I like history. And so historically, it was actually Aristotle in 350 BC, who first wrote about this, and at that time, the word menopause wasn't even coined. It didn't even exist.
Of course.
But his observation was that around age 40, some changes occur in women, and so he thought it was menopause. And he said at 50, women can't have kids anymore. So, you know, good observation. Remember in those days, life expectancy was really low.
It was under, it was like about
20s or something.
Yeah, it was like, yes.
Yeah, and women, so many women died in childbirth in
right.
those days. Infection was rampant. So that was interesting observation. And then it was actually a French physician who first coined the word menopause in 1821. And then since then, you know, they started treating women who were having symptoms. And what I found fascinating, Pete, is that across the world, the symptoms of menopause are really different in women. And the age group is also really different. So whereas over here in the United States, average age is around 51, and the most prominent symptoms are vasomotor, which is hot flashes. In other parts of the world, it's not that. So in the Far East, in China and Japan, women present at a younger age, and their symptoms are more musculoskeletal.
They meaning what?
Joint aches and pains. They present with muscle symptoms. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, that is.
And then I realized that in India, actually, women present with visual loss. How
what?
Fascinating is that? They suddenly notice a change in their vision.
Interesting. Okay.
So, okay, we think about that and we go, okay, well, physiology is still the same. Clearly, there are some environmental factors which are causing these different presentations across the world. But the hormones impact on all of these issues for women. The receptors for estrogen are not just for reproductive purposes. They are for so many different things. And as women get older, you are going to lose function of these hormones. And yes, it's liberating. And yes, it's time to celebrate. But at the same time, it's time to recognize that the hormonal function that is being lost will impact on your life. And when life expectancy was less, it didn't matter because people would die before it was going to affect them. Now when we say, hey, wait a minute, I want to live to be 100 years old, well, then
you've got a whole new life ahead of you.
quality of life is critical.
And again, there's where Longevity Medical Clinic steps in.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's skin, it's your hair, it's your eyes, your vision, your cardiovascular health, your bone health, your sexuality, and also, very importantly, what's happening to breast cancer risk.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. You said you want to talk about breast cancer today,
too. Yes, because it's important and it's related. You know, when deconjugated equine estrogens became popular in the years ago, and they were being given out as candy to treat for menopausal.
Let's just pause for a moment because yes. Our listeners may not know what that is. You said that real quickly. Conjugated equine estrogen. Basically, the estrogen that most doctors, even to this very day, unfortunately, give women.
Yes.
Is the estrogen that comes from the urine of pregnant horses.
Yeah.
The insanity of that is stupefying, but that still is what is being prescribed today.
That's right. And the issue with that is, that yes, it controls symptoms very quickly for women. It became very popular, but know that that's the urine of a pregnant horse, and pregnant horse's estrogen is not the same as a woman's estrogen. So the molecules are different. And what happened with that is, over the course of time, we realized that it increased the risk of breast cancer in women.
Right.
And so as that data was published, everybody started taking women off of estrogen. And then we realized 10 years later, when we revisited that data, that it was actually the conjugated equine estrogens that were given to women. It was not their bioidentical estrogen. Bioidentical estrogen, the same estrogen that you had. Remember, when you're younger, those estrogen levels are at their peak in your late teens, early 20s, and they decline after mid-20s. And during that time, your risk for breast cancer is lowest. When does the risk for breast cancer rise in a woman? It rises post-menopause. And at that time, her levels of hormones are declining.
We could take an hour just on the craziness of the horse estrogens that come from the urine of pregnant horses. Let me ask you this real quickly. Is PMS the same thing as menopause?
Perimenopausal symptoms, then menopause, then postmenopause.
Well, okay.
So the declination of hormones is what initiates the symptoms. That can last for 10 years or 15 years before a woman goes into menopause. The definition of menopause is when she hasn't had a menstrual period for 12 consecutive months, and then she goes into postmenopause.
Gotcha.
But the decline of hormones affects different people at different levels.
I remember I got in trouble. I've been producing this show since day one, as you know, so 21 some years. But I remember getting in trouble 15 years ago, I think in an ad or something. I used the term suicidal PMS, that often women are so distraught and have so many issues that I had heard the term suicidal PMS. And I was being interviewed on a different show about a different topic.
Okay.
And it came up, and the announcer brought that up and said, Pete, I heard you use the term the other day on the radio, suicidal PMS. And he says, don't feel bad about saying that. He said, because my wife has homicidal PMS.
Oh, my God.
I about fell off my chair.
So there's
all kinds of PMS.
Yeah, you know, it's like the classic story. I guess she's cutting vegetables in the kitchen counter, and you go and say something, and she holds up the knife and says, "What did you say, honey?"
Maybe without the honey. Anyway, listen, let us, we've got a couple of callers, but we've got some other things we need to do here, so my apologies. We're going to go to a break right now.
Okay.
And when we come back, we are going to hear the first. Now, this is pre-recorded for about 13 minutes. When we come back from the break, I'll come back and I'll introduce the fact that we've got this little mini recording of Dr. Mixon, and he's going to be talking about weight loss, and what's most important, diet or exercise? And that, as you might imagine, is a trick question, but I think you'll find it interesting.
Perfect. It relates to my menopausal women as well.
I knew you would be happy. We'll be right back.
You hear all the time about fitness and doing exercise. Where do you get the energy to start your exercise program? With Longevity, I was able to start my exercise program, and that parlayed into more energy, of which I ended up going from 220 pounds to about 180 pounds in about 2 years. And that has changed my life. And that's why I tell everyone I know about Longevity.
Really, 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 are you really mine? Really, 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 are you really mine?
You tell me that you love me, and you tell me that you want me, and you even wear my graduation ring. It's too wonderful. It's too beautiful. It's a fantastic thing. Are you really, really mine?
Really, hey, welcome back, everyone. Pete Talbot here. You're really listening to Leading Edge Medicine, today with Dr. Samira Umat. And we've got all kinds of things going on, talking about menopause, suicidal PMS, homicidal PMS.
And blissful PMS.
And blissful, yeah. There are things to do. In fact, you were saying there's so many things we can do for women that are going through this.
Oh, my goodness,
so
yes.
So we will get to that. But for right now, we will go to a little recording that Dr. Mixon and I did a few days ago for this very moment. And it is about weight or weight control, weight loss, what have you. So let's just go to that right now, and we'll be back.
You know, Jerry, even though you're not in the studio right now, I'm glad we did this ahead of time, because one thing that is just hitting us, and we talk about it all the time on Leading Edge Medicine, is weight loss. It comes up all the time. And one question I think many of our listeners want to know, what's more important, diet or exercise, when it comes to losing weight?
And the answer, of course, is yes.
Yes. I knew you were going to say that.
Sure. Okay, here's the real world. Okay. Diet and exercise are all part of the same process. The biggest problem most people have is we eat too much, we eat too often, and we eat the wrong things. So when you say diet, we aren't just talking about going on, quote, a diet, as in eat less, right? That's an artificial construct that gets us in trouble a whole lot.
Okay.
So here's where this starts. First, you can eat more calories than you can burn with almost any practical exercise. If you're a 150-pound woman, okay, so you're chubby but not really fat, and you run a mile, you burn 100 calories. There are 3,600 calories in a pound of fat. So a 150-pound woman would have to run 36 miles without changing her diet to lose 1 pound.
My goodness. When you put it that way, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. Okay. So that doesn't say that exercise is not important. It says that diet and exercise are a team. Look at it this way. If you go out and you burn 250 calories in the course of a day, and that your exercise program lets you burn 250 calories, you're walking 2.5 miles, because here's the trick. Whether you run that mile or walk that mile, you burn the same calories.
People don't realize that, do they?
No. It's how much you carry and how far you carry it, not how fast you carry it. How fast you carry it has to do with how strong and fit you are. A strong, fit person with good heart and lung function and good, strong muscles can run that distance quickly. A less fit person will have to walk it. But if you're 150 pounds and you go 1 mile, you're burning 100 calories whether you walk it, run it, or crawl it.
Okay.
Okay? So let's say you walk 2.5 miles, you've burned 250 calories. Now, if you then just cut your diet by 250 calories a day, that, by the way, is about 2 standard slices of bread. That's all. 2 slices of bread a day is about 250 calories. Walking that 2.5 miles and shorting yourself by 2 slices of bread a day is 500 calories a day.
That's right.
500 calories a day, 7 days a week, is 3,500 calories.
That's
1 pound of fat. 52 pounds a year. 52 pounds a year by walking. Okay. And how long does it take to walk 2.5 miles? Well, the average person walks at about 3 to 3.5 miles an hour. So maybe a 45-minute walk and shorten yourself by 2 slices of bread a day, not a terribly rigorous dietary intervention.
Yeah.
And you can knock off 50 pounds a year.
But if you take that same 45 minutes and walk fast.
Yes, you walk further. And that walking further will be burning more calories. But it's whatever pound is you do.
That's right.
Now, if you're a man and instead of 150 pounds, you're 250 pounds. Well, you burn 175 calories per mile. That same walk is going to help you to burn 350 to 400 calories.
Right.
Okay. So we men, our larger muscle mass, our larger bone size, our bigger structure actually gives us an advantage when it comes to losing weight. The same walk for us will do nearly twice as good as it does for our spouse.
Yeah, Vicky always says that's not fair.
God is male. What can I tell you? You know, okay. He gave us all the advantages, but we guys stick together.
That's right.
All there is to it.
Got it. Yeah. Anyway, well, you know, this is bringing up something that we really have to address, I think, on a regular basis. Longevity Medical Clinic is not a weight loss clinic.
No.
We've said that from day one, 21, 22 years ago. But a lot of people come because weight is an issue, but it's not our only focus. It's the whole person that you try to deal with all our doctors at Longevity Medical Clinic. Weight loss just happens to be a byproduct of doing what's best for your body.
Yeah, and let me put this a little further.
Okay.
One of the things we like to do is to alter your anabolic hormone load so that your body preferentially makes muscle instead of fat. Now, here's an interesting thing. Muscle takes about one-third as much space as fat. Okay? So losing 1 pound of muscle will only lose about one-third as much space as losing 1 pound of fat.
Sure.
Okay? But muscle burns 4 times as many calories as fat.
Good point.
So, 1 pound of muscle burns as many calories as 4 pounds of fat. Fat is a very low energy expenditure tissue.
Right.
If we move your metabolism towards muscle and you're adding muscle, muscle is burning calories even while you're sleeping just by existing. So, you get 2 advantages. A, you go out and you do the exercise to make the muscle. The muscle then is a high energy expenditure tissue. And so even when you're not exercising, that muscle you made while you were exercising is burning more calories. And that then gives you a bigger advantage when it comes to weight loss over time.
Right.
But you notice the time frames I'm using, a week for that pound to pound and three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
For a man, 1.75 pounds. For a woman, 1 pound. With the same exercise and the same dietary intervention.
Mm.
Okay. If that man puts some effort into some weightlifting, some resistance training, where he's pushing, pulling, lifting, dragging heavy stuff,
mm-hmm.
he makes increased muscle mass in his upper arms, chest, and shoulders. And that muscle mass, even when he is just laying there sound asleep
at night,
is burning calories.
That's right.
And help and helping him to get leaner and fitter. So I am a big fan of America losing fat. I want America to be strong and lean and energetic and enjoy yourself. Because here's another factor that often gets missed. Weak muscles fatigue quickly. If you're tired most of the time, it means you're not very well conditioned. The more muscle you've got and the stronger that muscle is, the more you can do without getting tired. So being stronger and fitter is going to give you more physical and emotional energy. That's going to allow you to get out and do more physical stuff. And that's going to allow you to make more muscle, which is going to help you get even stronger. It's also going to help you to burn the excess fat.
So all these things become more easily accomplished when you deal with hormonal proper balancing, comprehensive hormone replacement therapy,
yes,
diet, exercise.
Yes. If we can increase your metabolic panels to burn more calories and shift your metabolism towards muscle instead of fat, that's going to help. And it's going to help for men and women both, because we do the same thing for women that we do for men. But the key is lifestyle change. You notice I haven't said you'll lose X pounds in 1 month or X pounds in 3 weeks. Okay. We're talking about long-term change. You need to be looking at a time frame of 6 months to a year to redo your shape. When you go in the grocery store and you see the magazine that says, get your bikini body in 6 weeks, it's a lie.
Yeah.
Okay. This is marketing hype.
Yeah, I saw a magazine at the grocery store just yesterday that you can lose 12 pounds a week.
Hmm. Well, you can dehydrate.
That's what it said.
Yeah. You know, sure. And, you know, we can load your bowels so that you end up with diarrhea and drop 3 pounds overnight. But it'll all be water.
Yeah.
And as soon as you rehydrate, the pounds come back. It's not the pounds, it's the fat. When you walk down the street, nobody knows what you weigh. They know whether you're fat or lean. That's all they know.
Bottom line, the one thing most people don't understand, and I wish insurance companies and the government and our overall healthcare system understood that, there are consequences for being fat.
There are.
Just insurance all by itself. My goodness, overweight people are costing normal weight,
well-disciplined. Yeah. Billions of
dollars.
It's
a travesty.
It is. And while I, in my more financially related moods, I guess that bothers me to some extent. But as a physician, the biggest thing that bothers me, heart attacks, strokes, dementia, diabetes, kidney failure, blindness, depression, chronic fatigue.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, the list of things that happen to us because we're overweight is long and destructive. So as a physician, I'm more concerned about, you know, the impact on your life. And not even necessarily the length of your life, because most people I have found are not that afraid of dying. What they're most people are really afraid of is being crippled, mentally crippled, physically crippled, being unable to enjoy your life. Being bedridden for years at a time.
That is a frightening thought.
It really is. I mean, if you've just had a strained back or a twisted knee and you've had to go to bed for 3 days, you know how miserable that is. Imagine for the moment, spend the rest of your life bedridden.
Yeah.
Unable to get up and go do anything.
I mean, just the loneliness that would most likely be a result.
Compound that. Oh, let's assume that this was a left-sided stroke and you damaged Broca's area and now you can no longer speak.
Hmm.
You can hear, you can understand, you can't speak to communicate with the people around you. And that goes on for the rest of your life. That would scare the bejabbers out of me.
Yeah, that is a sad thing. Okay.
So what I'm saying is, poundage is important. And I don't care about weight for, quote, bikini body. I don't care about weight for cosmesis, for looking good. I care about weight because I care about what the fat does to people, does to their lives, does to their joy, does to their ability to live out loud and have fun.
Well, you don't have to be overweight to become a patient at Longevity. But if you are overweight, this conversation must be motivating for anyone listening right now.
I hope so.
And
that's why I'm saying it.
That's it. So this is yet just another sliver of the pie that we provide at Longevity Medical Clinic. If you would like to take that little step, we always want to give people a step. We don't want to educate them and leave them frustrated. We're letting you know the importance of your weight and being obese. But the first step you might want to take is to grab one of our free health analysis appointments. And you've heard us talk about it. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail other than you get two free tests, a blood test, also the special in-body test, and so that you can understand what some of your basic health risks are. Maybe some of those you're already experiencing. You already know what they are, but maybe there are others you need to learn about. Grab one of the free health analysis appointments. And just for doing so, we're offering you $100 of free longevity supplements as well. Or your choice of the supplements, $100 worth, or our two fitness books and our fitness bands. Your choice, just for making a free health analysis appointment. You do it on your own by going to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. And with that, Jerry, thank you. I'm glad you took this little extra time, even though you're not here live with us. I'm glad we did this. Hey, let's go to a break, and when we come back, I think we'll take some more calls.
After I started on Dr. Mixon's program, your energy level just booms, and the mood leveling out was so important. Your quality of life just is transformed. I am so grateful to Longevity and Dr. Mixon's program.
I just all of a sudden realized during that little mini interview with Jerry that was pre-recorded, obviously, I mentioned the free health analysis appointments. The one thing I didn't mention then, and I should have, was that we don't have that many left again. I was so proud last week because we had so many. But we have about 10 is all left in each of our three clinics through the end of the month. And so if you are interested in one, this is still good news because we do have 10 in each of our three clinics. Well, there's 11 in Tacoma, 10 in Kirkland, and I think 9 in Linwood. Anyway, you simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and make the appointment. And you get the two free tests, the blood test, and the special in-body test. And you can also have just for coming to the appointment, $100 of free longevity supplements as well. Or if you'd rather, you can get the two fitness books that we've written and the fitness bands. So either the fitness books and bands or the $100 of longevity supplements. Either way, we do have some, just not a ton. So go ahead and grab them and, they'll be gone here pretty soon at lmclinic.com. Well, you listened to what Jerry had to say there.
Yeah.
You were shaking your, nodding your head.
Well, the thing is that I was itching to pipe in, and I was like, why isn't he here? Why aren't we doing this live? There's so much important stuff that he shares, and it's valuable information. But a couple of points that I wanted to say in relation to what I was saying earlier is that you know, people start noticing the weight issue as they are getting older in life. And at that time, their metabolism is changing. And the reason is their hormonal balance is changing. So, yes, it's important for women. And that's when they tell me, oh, you know that muffin top? What happened? I eat the same. I exercise the same. Well, that's the answer. Your metabolism is changing because your body is changing. Your hormonal balance is changing. And as Jerry mentioned, you have to change something. Otherwise, you will gain weight. Okay, simple. And simple things can make a big difference. And for men, it happens a little bit later than in women. For women, it's more dramatic because of menopause. For men, it's andropause. Their testosterone levels are also decreasing, albeit a little slowly, and they don't recognize it till later. Some men notice it earlier, some men notice it a little bit later. But remember, those changes, the physiological changes, are happening for both men and women. And the other thing that stood out to me, and Jerry did a great job about explaining the impact of body fat, but you know, in the past, we used to think that this fatty tissue is just an inert tissue, that it doesn't do any harm. We now recognize that it's not just being overweight that causes the problem. It's that this fatty tissue is actually exuding damaging inflammatory cytokines and markers that are causing damage and that is increasing the risk for cancer, dementia, coronary vascular disease. And so the sooner you take charge of it, and the sooner you turn things around for yourself, the sooner you'll enjoy better health. You know, what bothers me, I guess, the most is that attitude of complacency, that you recognize it's a problem, but you go, well, but, you know, my family doesn't seem to mind, so it must be okay.
Sure.
And it takes time. Remember, you don't become hypertensive overnight. You don't become diabetic overnight. You don't develop coronary artery disease overnight. The processes for these physiological changes in your body occur decades earlier, and they're slowly progressive. And at Longevity, what we do is we pick up on them and we point them out to you before they become a problem. So a hemoglobin A1C of 5.2% is normal, but it's also ideal. And where 5.6% is also normal, know that your risk for cognitive decline and the problems with high sugar are just right around the corner at 5.6, because 5.7 is prediabetes. So you don't have to wait till it's 6.5 before somebody says, oh, you're now type 2 diabetic. I guess I need to start you on this medication.
So when my relative says, oh, well, she's only pre-diabetic, and her doctor says, don't worry, you're pre-diabetic, but we're going to watch it.
Well, I feel sorry for that person, simply because they don't recognize the urgency of reversing this. And why is that important? It's their whole life that is at stake. Remember, diabetes just isn't a high sugar. Diabetes affects every aspect of your life. That high sugar is present not just in the pancreas, or I don't know where people think it's present. It's present everywhere in your body. You have one body. We divide it into systems to make it easier for us to treat and manage it. But it is one body. That high sugar is affecting the blood vessels in your brain, in your eyes, in your heart, in your lungs, in your kidneys, in your peripheral nerves and vessels. So it's not just that diabetes is a disease of the pancreas and you're going to take insulin and it'll be okay. It's not that simple. It's very complicated. Don't wait till you develop peripheral vascular disease or cognitive decline or visual decline or heart disease. Remember, diabetic patients live less long than normal healthy people. Their risk for cancer is much higher. Their risk for heart attack is much higher.
You've said dementia.
Dementia is much higher than the average person. So at 5.7, you're pre-diabetic, but that means if you do nothing about it, you will be diabetic. But the physiological changes of diabetes have been going on for years and years and years in your body. And they are affecting you slowly. You know what happens, Pete? We become used to the new norm. Oh, I can't read that well. Oh, I can't remember. Oh, but then I've been like this. You become used to that new normal for you.
And again,
and
this is...
you forget.
Right. This is why you always are hearing Dr. Mixon and you and me and everyone else around here saying if you don't measure, you don't know. We measure for you. That's what we do in the free tests that we do at Longevity in that free health analysis appointment. So if this is all making sense to you, you know what to do. Let's take a call, shall we? Let's go to Linwood and talk with Aaron. Aaron, thanks for holding so long. You're on Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
I'm a bit off topic here, but a friend of mine was telling me the dangers of eating or drinking something that came out of a microwave. So I've been doing some research, and the information is all over the map. Some people are saying throw it away because it's a virtual death sentence, and others are saying that's just urban myth and junk science.
Yeah.
Any clue on what the facts are on that?
You know, it's an interesting thing. Dr. Mixon and I talked about this once on the radio show, and I wasn't pro-microwave use. I'm not anti it. I have one at home. I do use it. It makes life a lot easier, and it's definitely a whole lot quicker. And then I just kind of mentioned, hey, you know, if you have the time, pick up the put it on the cooktop and take the time to put it in a toaster oven or do it slowly. And Dr. Mixon looked at me and he said, huh, did you read an article about it? Is there any published data about it? And I just had to laugh because I hadn't seen a published report that it's bad for you in medical literature. So yes, there's a lot of hearsay. I don't know what to advise you. I'll tell you what I do. If I have the time, I will put it on the cooktop. If I don't have the time, I will put it in the microwave. I do have a microwave. I do use it, but I consciously try not to use it all the time. Have I read any sound medical evidence-based literature about it and against it? No.
So we're in the same boat.
Yes, we are in the same boat.
I've been in that same boat for 30 years. I dated a wonderful girl down at Westmont College back in the 60s, Kathy Krapuschets.
Okay.
And really early. She didn't like anyway. But her dad was the president of Litton Industries at the time, who came out with, I think, the first microwave. And the battle has raged on. I mean, literally, you know, you and I and Jerry, we've been involved in health and medicine and alternative considerations for decades.
That's right.
And the battle rages on. We use a microwave at home when it's, like you said, when you're in a hurry and you just need something quick. But my kneecaps haven't fallen off or anything.
Yeah. I'll tell you another story. Dr. Sinatra is a cardiologist, and he, you know, is very renowned in functional medicine and alternative medicine because he has adapted a lot of functional medicine philosophies. And when he hosts small group meetings, he actually will have his attendees put all their devices in a separate room and lock it away. He doesn't want electromagnetic waves anywhere near them. And he feels very strongly about it. He does use some kind of grounding for back pain and stuff. So if you go to his site, you can find different things. But he's a strong proponent of walking barefoot on ground, on earth, on the grass, in dirt, because it changes the physiology of the cardiovascular waves in the heart system. So, you know, he's obviously more knowledgeable about this than I am. Well, so the point is we don't do that anymore, right, Pete? When was the last time you walked on the grass barefoot? You probably can't remember. We use shoes all the time. But, you know, going back to the basics will probably help and reduce all of this exposure that we have to toxins in our environment.
Yeah, I mean, your house is wired.
Yep.
With, oh my God.
So if it's affecting you adversely, you want to make changes. You want to check the paint and everything, you know. But if it's not, then, you know, it adds for simplicity in life or easier life, I guess, for now.
Hey, after the break, we've got a call from Jeff in Edmonds has a question about glucose levels.
Okay.
So, and numbers. So hang on there, Jeff. We'll be right back. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock, we've got Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. So call right away with your questions about your eyesight. I know you've got them. Here's the number to call, 800-465-8770. We got three lines open right now at 800-465-8770.
My husband and I are, as you said, just right on schedule for falling apart in a very timely manner. So I think we're going to come to one of your seminars here the next time they come around. And I do thank you for all your advice on the radio.
Hey, hey, Paula, I want to marry you. Hey, hey, Paula, no one else could ever do. I've waited so long for school to be through. Paula, I can't wait no more for you, my love.
I didn't know this when I was a kid. But as I said before, this was my first dance and my first kiss. And that was lovely way back
Brings back memories. No,
sure
just
does.
Don't tell Vicky, that's all.
Oh, I've told her. I don't think she'd be shocked. Anyway, welcome back. Let's take a quick call here. Let's go to Edmonds and talk to Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. Good
was her name Paula?
No.
Was her name Paula?
No. No, that would have been incredible, but no, her name was Brenda.
He remembers all these
names. I don't
names.
Remember her wow. last name, but she was a humdinger, and wow.
Whew. That was my girlfriend.
Okay. Okay, what's cooking, question. Paul? Yeah. What's cooking, Jeff?
Yeah. I'm diabetic, and I check my glucose once a day in the morning, and my average is like 97. Mm-hmm. I've heard that is just checking once a day adequate, or should I be checking more?
Well, it depends upon whether you're stable or not, whether your medications are working for you, what's your hemoglobin A1C, and has anything else changed. I mean, a fasting of 97 is actually not a bad value for a diabetic patient. So what's your average hemoglobin A1C?
I haven't checked that in a while, but the last time I did, it was over 7.
Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah. So, go ahead. Sorry. What were you saying?
I was just saying I have to get that checked again soon.
Yeah.
Just to find out what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Well, if things have changed and if the values are getting too high or too low and you're symptomatic, or if you're missing your medications and not taking them, or your weight is increasing or something's changed in your life, then yeah, I would definitely keep measuring it more frequently. But if your medications have stayed stable, I would measure the hemoglobin A1C. That does give you a better idea of what's happening over the course of time, especially if, you know, you are noticing something different, like weight gain or decreased physical activity, or you're not performing as well as you did in whatever vision or thinking or whatever it may be, then definitely go ahead, measure it, the hemoglobin A1C. If your medications are changed, you do want to measure it more frequently. But on average, if the values are stable at 97 for you, most people will just continue to measure it once a day. So if it's a pinprick, remember, it's hard, right? You don't want to keep poking yourself all the time either.
Right.
It gets old after
a while. I'm actually losing weight and pretty active. I'm like 72.
Oh, very
so,
good.
My body mass index is 25. So that's
very good. Very good.
Like, that's on the borderline of being obese, but that's what they tell me.
Well,
I don't think so.
Normal weight is below 25, and you go to overweight if you are 25 of BMI, and at 29.9 or 30, then you become obese. So, you're at the cusp of normal to overweight based on BMI. But see, BMI is not always the be all and end all because it doesn't tell you the muscle to fat ratio. The problem with diabetics is they lose muscle mass very fast. And so to be able to improve your metabolism, you have to build muscle. So exercise is the right thing. So keep doing your exercise, but add resistance training.
And as a patient at Longevity, there's a tremendous advantage because real quickly, every time patients come in, why don't you explain real quickly? We've got 2 or 3 minutes, the in-body.
So
all of our patients.
Yeah. So Jeff, our in-body machine, and we do it for all of our health analysis appointments for free, is basically you stand on that machine, which measures the ratio of muscle mass to body fat. The important thing that we're looking for is what calories are you burning and what's the visceral fat level. So I have patients in my practice that have a high BMI, putting them in the overweight category, but there's not an ounce of fat on them. It's all muscle. The muscle mass is high. The visceral fat level is usually about 5 or 6, which is not just normal, it's ideal. 10 or below is what we're looking for. And the lower we can push it, the better off they are, because it means the visceral fat is the deep fatty tissue that is a pro-inflammatory agent. It increases risk for chronic disease, and we want to lower that. And we do that by helping build muscle. And unfortunately, when men and women get older, sarcopenia is a natural phenomenon of aging. And all it means is that they're losing muscle. So your weight may stay the same and people think, okay, well, I'm normal weight. But they don't recognize that they are naturally losing muscle mass and gaining visceral fat. So body fat percentage is rising, whereas muscle mass is decreasing, their weight stays the same and they think they are normal. But they're not.
And this machine does it actually by body part. I mean,
yes, it does.
Your right arm, your left arm, your right leg, your left arm, and your core.
That is correct.
And
it
that's
does.
Critical. It's very sophisticated and very helpful.
That is correct. It
the
is.
Only way to, the only way to build muscle is to pump iron then?
Well, we can change your physiological balance, so hormonal balance will help you succeed. Diabetic patients are unfortunately at a disadvantage when they have less anabolic hormones than the average person their age. And in order to build muscle to get the same results, they have to work that much harder. So if you change the hormonal balance, it'll put you at a higher advantage than the average diabetic
Basically,
patient.
Basically, anybody that is pre-diabetic or diabetic, really, I mean, seriously, ought to consider what we do at Longevity Medical.
Well, you see, because Jeff, what's happening is you might be losing weight, but as you lose muscle, your metabolism is actually slowing down. Okay? It's difficult concept to understand, but if you lose weight, I see this all the time. My patients who lose weight who don't gain muscle actually drop their metabolism even slower. So you have to be very careful. Yes, I want you to lose the weight to be an ideal weight, but gain muscle.
And again, your hormonal balancing is absolutely critical. You just can't look at your weight. You just can't look at your weight. Anyway, this is what we do at Longevity. Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Good
luck. And again, this is why part of the testing at Longevity Medical Clinic in the free health analysis appointment includes the in-body and a blood test so that we can understand what some of your basic health risks are. If you don't measure, you don't know. You've heard it. You can get it done by going to lmclinic.com and make a free health analysis appointment. lmclinic.com. Hey, good news. Dr. Michael Gilbert is next. I don't see him here yet, but he's supposed to be here at 9 o'clock. He's probably standing right outside the office door here. So we'll go get him from Northwest Vision Institute. Call us with your questions at 800-465-8770. All the lines are open, 800-465-8770.
Balance of Power 2020, the fight for the White House.